A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke in the 12th chapter. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided. Father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say it is going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? The Gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace, my sisters and brothers, from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It was 490 years before the birth of Christ, and the great Persian Empire had finally decided to invade Greece. This was to be a titanic clash of two great civilizations and empires, and the opposing armies finally met on the plains of Marathon. There, the Greeks defeated the invaders. Filled with the joy of their victory, the story goes that the Greeks appointed a messenger to carry this good news to Athens, and that messenger, having just fought in the battle himself, set out on his journey immediately to bring the people the good news of their victory, for he knew that such good news could not wait. But he did not walk, nor did he take a horse. Rather, he ran. He ran with all his heart and soul. He ran with his heart pounding and his body tiring, but his feet never flagging. 26 miles in all he ran, around Mount Penteli, following a line along the coast, between the foothills of the mountain ranges and across the plains, until he reached the gates of Athens. There, having shared his good news, it is said that he died, his journey on behalf of his nation and his people now complete. You may know this ancient story from school. You may perhaps even know it from the famous 19th century poem by Robert Browning, even though the historical accuracy of the story continues to be challenged. But what cannot be doubted is how this great feat is remembered and reenacted every time men and women gather today to race in a marathon, whether it is the Olympics, or in New York, or in Boston. Although, as we all know, the name of Boston is now stained by the gruesome terrorist bombings which took place there earlier this year. But in spite of that one situation, it may safely be said that this historic race has inspired so many others down through the centuries to run a similar race in all corners of the globe, so that a marathon has come to symbolize not only a race, but a dedication and a commitment beyond the ordinary into something extraordinary. And such inspiration has gone beyond just racing and has included many others who have set out in a quest in life and have sought inspiration for their journey from this feat. but it may also be true that the original marathon story was part of what inspired the author to the letter to the Hebrews to use the image we heard this morning, the image of running a race which also brings good news, indeed brings news of a victory. In this case, the good news of Jesus Christ, who came to bring the fullness of God's salvation through his wonderful victory over sin and death. And so great, so powerful is this message that down through the ages, these same words and images have also inspired countless men and women, children and others to run their own races of faith, urging them also unto victory. But my sisters and brothers, for all the soaring rhetoric and imagery of Hebrews, we are confronted with another race which runs counter to this race of faith, and that is the race of this world. Here, there is none of the inspiring story. There is none of the magnificence of one man overcoming great odds. There is no storied ending. For this worldly race is a race for material things. It is a race for success. It is a race we enter into regardless of the awful costs it demands of us in terms of health and human relationships. It is this race which relentlessly drives all who attempt it, forcing them to scramble in order to gain more possessions. It is this race which is the mindless scurrying we know as the rat race, with its message of haste for haste's sake. It is this race in which too many, for the sake of profit or gain, find themselves caught up in the hectic, frantic, destructive pace of living that in the end leaves so many poor souls who started out as runners, competitive, eager, and ready to go, leaves them now exhausted, cast off as losers by the wayside, with no one to care for them or to believe that they can win. Instead, they now live shell-shocked and terrified, overcome and overwhelmed by a chaotic world, deluded by its false messages, which unfold so confusingly around them. And the truly sad part is that all these tired, crippled, deluded ones have run the race of the world only to find that the spoils at the end are an illusion. The happiness, the success, the security that they mistakenly expected to win turn out to be nothing but a grand illusion, the stuff of dreams. That's why the words of Jeremiah seem so appropriate for us today, as they warn us in our first lesson of the dangerous delusion that comes from dreaming such things. Jeremiah points to the difference between the dreams of the people, their need for a wish fulfillment, and the reality and substance of the will of God. It is not that our dreaming is to be dismissed. It is only that we are reminded that that is all they are. They are but dreams, and that is the end. But meanwhile, we as people of faith, we are called to live a life free of the illusions that our scrambling world has to offer. And instead, we are called to enter into this race of faith, a mighty marathon, along whose difficult way we will find grace and blessings, challenge and strength to live in the world without being overcome by its ways. We are called into a race in which our lives will be gradually shaped, gently molded, softly changed by grace, as we become the wonderfully unique individuals that God intends us to be. So we run. We run, each of us, as a child of God. But in this marathon, we do not run as individuals. That is, as though this were only about us. I'm always impressed by the start of the great marathon races in New York or Boston or other places. There are hundreds and sometimes thousands of men and women, children and elders, the fit and those not quite at the peak of their being. They gather together at the starting line. They will run their own races, yes, but they will do it surrounded by many others from whom they will draw a sense of community, a sense of support, a common bond, that they're all in this together. So it is, my sisters and brothers, with us. We are called into this race. And though each of us move at a different speed, with different styles, employing different patterns of practice, we will run together as the people of God, the people of this congregation, a unique and special community, an expression of the living body of Christ, which is His church. In this place, we run together, the fast and the slow, the young and the old, the men and the women, the convinced and the questioning. But each of us called, gathered, enlightened, and made holy, as Luther tells us in his explanation to the third article of the Creed, called, gathered, enlightened, and made holy to run this race together with care and compassion for the service and the sake of Christ's mission and ministry, and not for ourselves. It is not. Indeed, it cannot be a quick sprint, nor can it be a jaunty jog. Rather, it is a long and sometimes grueling marathon. For like that runner so many centuries ago, we find ourselves following a rough road on this marathon. But ours is not the roughness of mountains, or passes, or foothills, or coastlines. Rather, my sisters and brothers, we follow the arduous way of the cross, which can be difficult and painful and far from easy for us to traverse. For in this race, Christ also calls us to take up the burdens of others, to provide for the poor in times of need, to free hostages, the captives and the oppressed, to reach out in mission to serve this community and the communities of this world, to strive for peace and justice, and to share God's word with all the world. This, my sisters and brothers, this is the marathon to which we have been called. This is the race of our faith. This is the way of the cross. This is the life of discipleship. We are nothing less than a marathon people, gathered around word and sacrament, sustained by the grace of God, refreshed by our weekly worship, filled with strength and purpose and hope. For it is here in this place that we gather, not to be deluded by dreams, but to hear again God's promise, His plan of salvation, and to heed the call to follow Christ in this race. For make no mistake about it, my sisters and brothers, Christ has raced ahead of us. His marathon began at the Jordan River, and it continued in the withering wilderness amid the drought of temptation. He had to face the hostility of the authorities as He healed the sick and offered God's forgiveness. And at the end, He came to the most difficult part of the race, which led Him on that road to Jerusalem to hang on a cross. But the race was not over even then, for He lay in that cold tomb until he was raised up once again to the glory of the Father. Such a marathon of faith is not easily run, but it is the race to which we have been called. We, the people of faith, who run together as a community nurtured by word and sacrament. But as such a community, we cannot live in those dreams, as Jeremiah warns us so clearly this morning. Instead, we can only cleave faithfully to the Word of God. Cleave, as we will hear in the song that we will sing in just a few moments, cleave to this Word of God, which cleave the darkness of this Word. And we will hear again the hard sayings of our gospel today, but also the promises contained. The promises we said last night that we need not fear. For although the race will be hard at times and the pain is real, nevertheless we are not left alone or abandoned. For we have been given a promise that Christ races with us through our darkest hours, our loneliest nights, our longest days. We do not have all the answers to the questions that life throws at us. But we do share a vision for God's church, a call to be faith-filled witnesses in this time and in this place, a witness to God's love for the world by serving others and proclaiming the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. And we run as one community. We run, for God has called us together through the power of His Holy Spirit, and with honesty and mutual love and affection, we serve Christ in the mission and the ministry to which He has called us. For this race calls us ever forward, moving toward God's future in our life together. We cannot go backwards into the past, even in a wonderfully historic parish such as this. And we cannot live in idle dreams for the future. We can only go forward in faith, putting one foot ahead of the other, trusting that the Lord will guide us and nurture us along the way, strengthening us for the duration of the faith of the race through the power of His Word and the grace of His holy sacraments. Adhering then to the will of God, illuminated by the gospel and discerned by us under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we run through the darkness of the difficulties of our lives with the gospel always before us along the path that God has given us. My sisters and brothers, the marathon we run will not be an easy one. There will be steep hills to climb and grueling, seemingly endless miles to cross. Yet along the way, there will also be moments of exhilaration when we get a glimpse, just a glimpse of our goal, an insight into the profound reality of our existence as God speaks to us in His living Word and we feel His presence in the most holy sacraments. And so we race. And so we run. For the message we bear is nothing less than the good news of Christ's victory, His victory over sin and death, and the good news of the promised salvation of the world. So let us run. Let us run with faith. Let us run with boldness. Let us run with courage. Let us run the race that lies before us. And let us never forget that the victory laurels go not only to the winner, but go to all who faithfully finish the race. For it is to each of these that Christ promises nothing less than a crown. more than 2,000 years ago. A messenger, fleet of foot and with pounding heart, raced 26 miles. My sisters and brothers, the race is now ours to take up. The race is ours to run with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul. For the message we bear is precious. The message we bear is important. Indeed, the message is life-giving, for it concerns nothing less. Nothing less than the good news of salvation for this world, which so desperately longs to hear it, which so desperately needs to hear it. We have been called into this race, this marathon, and thanks be to God who has given us that call, and thanks be to God who has sustained us in the journey to the very end, to the finish line, when all things shall be complete in Him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.